Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, the only hospital between Yonkers and Canada offering Makoplasty, the newest robotic surgical system for hip replacement and partial knee resurfacing. health-quest.org/VBMCortho.
Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio today on this Medical Monday is a board-certified orthopedist and quite a guy, and his name is Dr. David Stamer. Dr. Stamer is a brilliant guy. I've been talking to him in here, and he has a lot of really good ideas that are going to help people like you. So be sure to be giving us a call. He earned his medical degree and completed his internship and residency at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in Newark, New Jersey. He's a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and specializes in total joint replacement, arthroscopy, sports medicine, ligament reconstruction, fractures, hand surgery. That's hard, hand surgery. And pediatric injuries. Well, Dr. Stamer, really, so welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Alan. I've heard your voice for over 20 years now, and I finally got to meet you.
And when you did, the first thing you thought is, boy, this guy's much shorter than I thought he was. To be top part of today's conversation, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can write your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. That's voxpop@wamc.org. So, Doctor, I just kidded around and said hands are hard, but they are, aren't they? Hands are very difficult.
They are difficult, but before we start, I have to put a plug in for my beautiful wife and daughter, Mitzi and Danny. Hello.
Oh boy.
But yes, hands can be very complicated between tendon injuries and fractures and vascular problems and nerve damage. And everything is very small in hands compared to other joints. So yes, it can be quite complex.
Do you have a specialty, one or the other, that you generally get to do? You know, well, there's some people who are back men and some people who are, you know, thigh men. And there are some people who, you know, do other things.
I consider myself a general orthopedist, but yeah. I would say that the majority of the practice that I do is total joint replacement, hip and knee, arthroscopy, sports medicine, and fracture work.
Wow. You know, when somebody breaks their bones, do those bones always completely heal?
Not always. Depending on the type of fracture, the bone, depending on the health of the patient, it can impact the healing process.
Well, I fell off a bike once and broke a lot of bones, and that was certainly all of 15, 20 years ago. And there's still a crease in my shoulder. Does that make any sense?
It does. It does. The fracture may have been displaced, and you may not have realized it, or it may have caused some permanent damage to the muscle that would cause some atrophy.
That sounds right, because it never hurt.
Yeah, if it doesn't hurt, you're in good
shape.
Don't
fool.
Normal function, and it doesn't hurt, so that's perfect.
Okay, let's go to Rick in Del Mar. All right. By the way, all the phones ringing. One left. One line left. Rick in Del Mar. Go ahead, Rick. You're on.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Thanks for taking the call.
Hi, Rick.
I actually have two areas that I'm a little bit puzzled about. I'm a 58-year-old male. It's very active, like to exercise, cycle, swim, mountain climb, all that kind of stuff, but I'm in need of a total hip replacement. So my first question is about a total knee hip replacement versus a hip resurfacing. I'd very much like to hear your opinion on that.
Sure. Well, like most things in orthopedics, they keep repeating themselves. Hip replacements and hip resurfacing have been around for decades. Unfortunately, sometimes certain procedures fall out of favor. For instance, when I was a resident over 20 years ago, there were very few people doing hip resurfacing at the time because it was felt that it failed as a procedure. Hip replacement, where you replace the entire ball and socket, as opposed to just resurfacing the ball part and replacing the socket, was a far superior procedure. In the last, I'd say, 3, 4, 5 years, there's been increased interest in exploring resurfacing once again. And in certain circumstances, it is beneficial and it is helpful for the patient. Advantages of the resurfacing is that you don't remove the ball, you preserve bone, so that in the future, if you need to have another procedure, you have most of the hip bone still remaining.
So, do you consider the metal-on-metal issues and the metal-ion risk to be, for example, greater than 5%?
The metal-on-metal, when you hear those late-night plaintiff's attorney commercials for the class action lawsuits, those are for the metal-on-metal replacements, which also was in favor 30 years ago and fell out of favor and had a resurgence of popularity. And in recent years, there's been a massive recall because they all fail. So when you hear metal-on-metal, run away.
What do you use?
What is it?
What I use is the conventional metal ball on polyethylene or plastic socket, or ceramic ball instead of metal on the plastic socket. Okay. Metal-on-metal is out.
Okay, Rick, real fast. Go ahead.
Well, it's my understanding that the resurfacing, the Birmingham resurfacing product, is metal-on-metal.
It
so
is.
That is the cause of my concern.
Yeah, if it was my hip, I would not put a resurfaced metal-on-metal hip in. I would go with the conventional metal or ceramic, in your case, ceramic on plastic or polyethylene replacement.
Hey, Rick, you've had yours. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye.
Yep, let's go to Nancy and Rhinebeck. Nancy and Rhinebeck, you're on.
Yes, hello, doctor.
Hello, Nancy.
Nice to talk to you. I have an injury of my knee that is really kind of painful. And I was wondering if you can tell me, there are tears and strains in the medial collateral ligament. And I didn't know whether, and meniscus, do those things heal themselves or do you have to do something about them?
Well, that's a great question. Unless it's a surgical emergency where it's a limb-saving or life-saving situation, most injuries initially are treated non-surgically, even if eventually you may need surgery. In your case, very frequently, I would say more times than not, injuries that you hear about people having surgery for, such as cartilage tears or ligament tears, will respond to non-operative treatment with bracing, with physical therapy, with anti-inflammatories, sometimes even cortisone injections, and you may go on to have complete healing and complete symptomatic recovery. On the other hand, sometimes after the initial injury subsides, a month, 6 weeks, the swelling is down, your motion comes back, and you're still having symptoms such as pain or instability, then you may need to have surgery and benefit from that.
I see. So, well, it's been not quite a month, and I find it still quite painful, and I didn't know whether sprains and strains or whatever, that pain could last for a while.
It can. A month isn't that long, but you should definitely be reevaluated. And again, most of the time, non-operative treatment will take care of it, though occasionally surgery may be indicated.
Okay, great. One other quick question. Would you say, because it's still a little swollen, should I keep icing it?
Another good question. If it's still swollen and ice helps, I would ice it 20 minutes at a time. And that usually does help it.
Okay.
Nancy.
Thank you so much,
you. Thanks for calling, Nancy.
Bye.
Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Alan in Hinsdale, you're on.
Oh, hi. My name is Alan. Thanks for taking my call. I grew up in Pittsfield, and I went to school with the David Stamer. You didn't happen to grow up in Pittsfield, Mass., did you?
Oh, my God. I actually did. I can't believe it. Where did you go? Williams School?
South Junior Williams High School. Yeah,
that's great. That's really good.
Alan,
yeah,
you're just talking about
two houses up on the right. So nice to talk with you.
Wow.
It's been, what, 30 some odd years?
Yeah, we moved out of Pittsfield in 1976. I lived on Mountain Drive right near Dalton Division Road.
Yeah, and I was the two-story gray colonial lower left right across from Glory. Well, congratulations for being a doctor. That's great.
Wow.
I read a lot of these aftermarket, holistic, eat healthy type of diet things, and that if you, like, there's this Jonathan Wright doctor guy, and he says, well, you boil the chicken bones 13 hours, and you boil the beef soup bones for 22 hours, and you get the hyaluronic acid, and it's great for rebuilding your joints and all that kind of thing, and I wanted to get your opinion. Do you have any idea, study that kind of thing?
I don't study it. Alan, I don't study it, but I do value it to a limited degree. I think diet is very important, and but everything in moderation, like anything else.
Well, you know, Roselle, my wife gets very angry at me, Alan, when I eat the joints from, because it's the same theory I have, you know. When there's always that thing at the end of the spare rib. Nobody eats it, but I chew them and I eat them. Same thing with the chicken bones. So go to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take them and I'll boil them 13 hours, throw in a little vinegar. Acetic acid is supposed to loosen up. So literally, when you take the bones out, there's none of those shiny knuckle ends. It looks like they've been
knuckle ends.
Dipped
that's
in acid.
That's my theory. My theory is the knuckle ends are good for you.
And if you boil it long enough, it goes into solution. So the bones are like as light as styrofoam, and all the white cartilage stuff's completely dissolved. And
well,
I'm thinking...
What do I know? Alan, thanks for the great call. We've got
to
take a break.
Good talking to you, Alan.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. We're going to be right back with Dr. Stamer. All the phones are loaded except one, because Alan got off of it. And so that's there for you. Be back with us, and we'll take your calls.
Support comes from Premier Medical Group, gastroenterology, urology, internal medicine, endocrinology, geriatrics, nephrology, and pulmonology, with offices throughout the Hudson Valley, premiermedicalhv.com. Marriott Town Place Suites, Albany Downtown, offering studio, one- and two-bedroom suites with fully equipped kitchens. Amenities include indoor pool, breakfast, local transportation, Wi-Fi, and parking. tpsalbany.com for reservations. Sylvan Learning Centers, providing personalized tutoring in math, reading, writing, study skills, SAT and ACT prep, and more. SylvanLearning.com. And Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Banda Magda, Vintage French Pop, up in the club on April 12th, massmocha.org.
And we are back, thanks to Zach. Okay, with Dr. Stamer, we're taking calls today in case you have a question orthopedic. But if you don't, then you can call and say, hey, didn't you live next door to me? Well, that would be great. We've got a Mark in Pleasant Valley where everybody smiles. Okay, Mark.
Hi, Alan. It's Mark in Pleasant Valley. My daughter is, and Dr. Stamer,
hey,
my daughter is a ballet dancer. She's 14 years old. A few months ago, she found that it was very, very painful to dance point, on point. We saw a couple of doctors, and, you know, they felt around, and it was, I don't remember the name of the tendon, but it's at the top of her foot. And you can imagine that it gets distended or extended when she goes on point. But the doctors have said, in Poughkeepsie, have said, well, you know, dancing on point is not natural. You don't have to dance on point. I said, well, can she ever dance on point again? Without even giving, like, a diagnosis per se, they say, no, she should never dance on point again. But, you know, she's got dreams. She enjoys the team and the dancing. So what should we do?
Well, that's a good question, and it's very common with ballet dancers. Ballet is a high-impact sport for their lower extremities, for the feet, and dancing on point is a unnatural position for the foot. If she is skeletally immature, meaning she's still growing, it could be a growth plate issue that it's inflamed. If she's pretty much as tall as she's going to be, it's most likely tendinitis, or it could be a ligament sprain. And like any other tendinitis or sprain, it's treated non-operatively with rest, ice, anti-inflammatories, physical therapy, and temporarily avoiding the offending position and activity. So I encourage patients to continue doing what they like to do, but just to treat the injury and not participate while in pain.
So that's ice before and heat after?
Typically heat before. Ice after, Advil.
Heat before, ice after.
Advil or Aleve for anti-inflammatories, and rest. And I think having a good physical therapist would be very beneficial as well.
What do you think about acupuncture?
Well, acupuncture, I really don't have anything to do with it, but I've had some positive feedback from patients. And if patients have had good results with it, I encourage them to continue doing it.
Okay.
Mark,
thank you
very much. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
No problem, Alan. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bob in New Paltz. Bob in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi, doctor. How you doing?
Hey,
my
Mark.
Name is Bob. I'm 72 years old. I've recently been diagnosed with Dupuytren's connection in my right hand.
Dupuytren's contracture, yes.
Dupuytren's?
Dupuytren's, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a very common condition, and historically, patients of Northern European descent, it commonly afflicts, but it can happen to anyone. Basically, it's when fibrous tissue below the skin attaches to the tendons and starts to contract and cause the fingers to contract. Mm-hmm. When it's picked up early, aggressive range of motion and sometimes splinting can help delay its onset and progress. Historically, surgery to release the contracture has been done. More recently, there's a medication that you can inject called Xyloflex, where it loosens up the scar tissue, and then the following day you actually come in to have the hand manipulated to break up the scar tissue. So there's a lot of hope to treat it non-surgically, and it's found a lot of success doing so. How far along are your contractures?
Well, my pinky is no longer flexible, and the next finger, the ring finger, I have less movement in it, and I have two large lumps on the palm of my hand at the base of my ring finger.
Okay, well, if you haven't sought treatment yet, it sounds like you probably should, to have it evaluated and possibly treated. So the fingers don't straighten out, are they contracted right now?
The pinky does not straighten out.
Okay.
The other one, I simply am losing flexibility in it.
Yep, it sounds like you probably should be evaluated and get initial treatment.
And to whom do I refer this condition?
Typically someone who specializes and devotes most of their practice to hand surgery.
And you're a hand guy, right?
I'm a hand guy, yep. I could check you out, and I could treat you.
How do people, if the people want to get you, how would they find you?
Well, I work for Mid-Hudson Medical Group, so in the same area as where you are, Bob. And you can get me at 845-231-5600.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the great call. It was a very interesting question. I started
Thank
to look
you.
At my fingers, too. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye, Bob.
Okay, let's go to Linda in Corinth. Linda, you're on.
Thank you, Alan. Welcome. Doctor, I was told I need a bilateral knee replacement, and then got a second opinion, and the doctor gave me cortisone shots.
Yeah.
And they aren't working, so here's my question. Am I doing damage to have bone on bone if I continue to exercise?
You know, that's another great question. I do knee replacements every week, and you don't do a knee replacement based on an x-ray or an MRI or the fact that it's bone on bone. You do it based on the amount of pain you're in and the lack of progress with non-operative treatment. So I see patients every day that need knee replacements. If they haven't had any treatment yet, I'll try the cortisone. I'll try what's called visco supplementation or gel shots.
I had that first. And
okay, you had that
to
too.
Cortisone, yeah.
And therapy can sometimes help. And if none of those things help and you are truly bone on bone, a knee replacement may be helpful for you. If it's bone on bone but only part of the knee is bone on bone, you may be a candidate for what's called a partial knee replacement. And that's a relatively new procedure that we've been doing at Vassar Hospital.
How do you keep up with that stuff, Doc?
You have to stay on top of it, going to courses, reading.
Yeah.
Just being aware of
all
the
advances. Do you do it laparoscopically?
Nope. You still have to make an incision because you have to put these implants in.
As far as
arthroscopic surgery for patients that need knee replacements, it's felt that typically you will not get much, if any, relief from doing it. If you get any relief, it'll be very short-lived. So that's kind of discouraged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
great.
Linda, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Bye.
Linda.
Let's go to Tim in New York. Okay, Tim, you're on.
Yeah, Doc, I a couple months ago I fell on the ice and I landed on my elbow. Well, I got it was pretty painful, and so I went and had the elbow x-ray at the VA, and they came up with a negative result. So, but I feel like I have shards of glass in my elbow, and you know, if I massage it or put pressure on it, it gets painful. So.
Okay.
Not quite sure. The other elbow is fine. It's smooth and everything, but this elbow feels like it's got grains of sand or glass.
You didn't break the skin, though, right? It wasn't anything like that?
No, I did not. And I have total motion. I don't have any pain or anything like that. But
well, you know, X-rays will just show bones. So X-rays will show if you have a fracture. Even a hairline fracture should show up on an X-ray. But cartilage doesn't show up on an X-ray. And sometimes when you fall and have a contusion where you bang the elbow, you can actually knock off or crunch down on some of the cartilage that may not show up on the X-ray, and that can be the cause of your symptoms.
Okay. Okay. So do you have anything I could do to alleviate, you know, the pain when I put pressure on it? Or?
Well, you could try like low-impact exercising, like stretching and lightweight strengthening stuff, resistance stuff. You could try anti-inflammatories like Motrin or Aleve. And if that doesn't work, I'd probably come in to get evaluated, maybe get an MRI scan to see if you have any soft tissue damage in there.
Okay. All right, great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, we are going to go through a couple of these real quickly that have come in over the... And the phones are all ringing, by the way, and I want to get... So I want to spend very little time on all of these. Could you describe the recovery process and mobility of a humerus prosthesis for upper arm for chondrosarcoma in a fairly healthy 90-year-old? What kind of mobility and usage of the arm could be expected? It sounds quite painful. Is it?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the extent of the chondrosarcoma, which is a cancer. I'm assuming it's up in the shoulder area. If it's caught early and if it doesn't infiltrate into the soft tissue, you should be able to regain most, if not all, your mobility. Basically, the affected bone is removed, an implant is put in, the muscles and ligaments are restored and remain in place. So you should do well following that procedure.
Okay, and that was from Anonymous. Okay, and here comes from Joan. Do you think the S1 joint issues can cause numbness in feet and toes?
Not sure what you're referring to, Alan.
Well, I don't know what it says here, but it says either S5, S51 or S1. Here, you take a look.
All right. The SI joint issue.
SI, okay, that wasn't
the
one.
The SI is the sacroiliac joint. It's basically below the lumbar spine where the sacrum, which is near the bottom of the spine, meets the ilium, which is part of the pelvis. Can it cause numbness in the feet and toes? If you have bone spurs growing and pressing onto the nerves that pass by that, potentially you can have some numbness in certain parts of the foot and toes. If it's the entire foot or all of the toes, then it's not coming from the S1 arthritis.
Okay. And last but not least, from Edward. The issue is my shoulder. I'm fairly active, 33-year-old. I thought for some time the pain I was experiencing was due to sleeping on one side too much. This has happened to both shoulders at one time or another in the past. After changing this, the pain persisted. Actions like painting or lifting my arm above shoulder height exacerbate the issue. Ibuprofen helps a little, Excedrin helps a little, helps much more. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
Well, you have what it sounds like most people that present to me with shoulder pain have. You didn't have a traumatic episode. One day it just started hurting, and maybe you associate it with sleeping in a funny position. You have what sounds like what's called impingement syndrome, which is tendinitis of the rotator cuff. And for a variety of reasons, the rotator cuff is inflamed. The rotator cuff are the tendons that pick up your arm. And whenever you pick your arm up, it further exacerbates or worsens your symptoms. So I would agree. The treatment, you would start off with anti-inflammatories, stretching, avoiding overhead activities and heavy lifting, and what frequently takes care of everything is a simple cortisone injection. Occasionally, you need to have surgery if that doesn't work.
Okay, and back to the phones. We're going now to Nihal in Balsam Lake. Nihal, you're on.
Hi, and thank you very much for taking my call. I have a 15-year-old daughter who has a volar ganglion on her wrist. And she's had it for 5 months. She does a lot of fasting. Actually, she can have it to get it just after having fasted quite intensely one evening. And it's quite uncomfortable. She complains about her thumb being uncomfortable. And we tried acupuncture. We went to see the doctor. We were referred to an orthopedist. He advised aspiration followed by an injection. But I was a bit concerned, perhaps rightly or wrongly, with the sort of risk associated with the steroid injections. He then afterwards said that surgery would be another option. We tried acupuncture only once, and it didn't help, but it was only once. This is perhaps another way to think about it. And another thing is we, in fact, went online and tried to watch a lot of video clips and perhaps encouraged by a lot of successful stories here. We decided to puncture it with a sterile needle at home, and I was very keen to do that. And in fact, on one occasion, some synovium liquid came out, but not everything. It didn't empty completely.
Okay, sure. Anyhow, it's Alan. You have to really just ask the question because there are a lot of people behind you. Go ahead. What's your question?
So basically, how long can we wait? What would you recommend? How long can we wait with that ganglion?
Sure.
Well, how long?
The volar ganglion is the ganglion on the palm side of the wrist. As opposed to the upper part of the wrist. And typically, we try to get rid of it by aspirating it, by putting a needle in it carefully and draining it, occasionally putting the cortisone in as well. We try to avoid doing surgery on the volar ganglions because it's a long path between where the cyst is and into the joint, as opposed to the dorsal or top part where it's just underneath the skin. Usually, just aspirating it takes care of it, and I would highly advise not doing it yourself at home.
Yes, definitely not. And we tried as well Onicare and unsulfured blackstrap molass because it seemed to be associated to a lot of successful stories as well for joints. Do you concur? Have you heard about blackstrap molass? Because I've tried it with the tennis elbow.
Blackstrap molasses is the question,
yes.
Doctor.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the molasses, but if it works, I would go for it. But okay. I'm not familiar with it.
Neil, we're going to have to let you go. A lot of people on the phone. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Neil.
Bye. Let's go to Ron in Poughkeepsie. Ron.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have what can be described as a boxer break in the pinky. It's 2 years old. Where it broke closer to the top of the hand, creating a step down where it doesn't hinge it there anymore, but there's a large lump in the top of the hand. Then it steps down towards the palm where the original hinge of the knuckle is currently. I have range of motion, not full range of motion. It is, I wouldn't call it uncomfortable. I wouldn't call it painful. It's more annoying than anything. Can that be fixed with surgery? At the time when I had it looked at, they said, oh, we don't set those. I thought the guy was going to, you know, grab it and give it a tug and set it straight. And that didn't happen.
Sure, Ron.
Okay, here we go.
Well,
Ron.
A boxer fracture, as you described, is the pinky knuckle, basically. And oddly, boxers are taught to punch with their index finger knuckle. But when you punch with your pinky side of your hand, the bone is very flexible and it does fracture easily. A displaced boxer fracture, it's already healed now, but it's healed in a bad position. It's called a malunion. As far as treatment, you can treat it. It's called an osteotomy, basically to re-break where the break was, straighten it out, and let it heal that way. I would only do it if you are symptomatic. If you're functional, if it doesn't limit any of the activities you want to do, if it doesn't hurt, I certainly wouldn't do it just because it looks a little funny. But if it does give you major problems, I would definitely consider redoing it.
Are you a famous violinist, Ron?
No, but I'm 50 and I'm worried. Later on in life, is it going to give me problems if I don't take care of it when I'm on the younger side of the fence?
Yeah, that's another good question, too. But we don't do surgery like that as preventative.
Yeah.
We do it if it's symptomatic. You know, if it healed in an angular position where the finger was twisted or when you made a fist, the finger was pointing the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's a different story. Or if it hurt or you couldn't make a fist. But if you're completely functional, I would just treat it symptomatically. And if it became symptomatic down the road, then I would treat it.
Understood. Thank you.
Ron, thank you very much. Okay, and we're going to Palmer. Okay, Palmer, you're on the thruway.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm answering.
I hope you're pulling over to the side. Go ahead.
We're using Bluetooth.
Yes, sir. I fell this in January, and I tore the calf tendon in my rotator cuff. And the doctor I'm going to see, where he cuts you wide open and he cuts through the deltoid.
Sure.
And there's other surgeries where there's micro. I have a very physical job, and I'm concerned with getting back because it's a long recovery. And with a micro or whatever, they don't have to do anything with the deltoid.
Yep.
But as far as the recovery, how much does that have to do with getting back? I mean, that sounds kind of drastic, but maybe it's not.
Well, Palmer, when you have to repair a torn rotator cuff, you can either do it arthroscopically the way you described or open the way you also described. And if it's done correctly, both ways are excellent options. You don't want to go to someone that doesn't do a lot of the microsurgery just to say, I didn't have a big incision, because you will have a poor result. And as far as the downtime goes, it's very similar. You can't move the shoulder for about 6 to 8 weeks, and then it's several months of physical therapy. So either way, if it's done correctly, are totally viable options.
And what, very quickly, Doc, what is a rotator cuff?
The rotator cuff are four tendons in the shoulder that all come together and form a cuff, hence the name, and attach to the upper part of the shoulder. So when you want to pick your arm up, those tendons contract and pick the arm up.
Okay. Hey, Palmer, thanks for the call. We got to go.
Good luck, Palmer.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a very short, maybe 7-second break. We will be right back with you. We got a lot of people on the phone, like Jim and Harvey and Joseph. Just let us hear from you.
Support comes from New York Oncology Hematology, sponsoring Spring to Life, a symposium on blood cancers for healthcare professionals, patients, survivors, and families, May 3rd at the Desmond Hotel, NewYorkOncology.com. Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center's Graduate Social Work Program and Graduate and Undergraduate Nursing Programs, hosting an open house Saturday, April 12th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., St. Francis Hospital Medical Arts Pavilion, adelphi.edu. St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. And Black Dog and Leventhal, offering the Black Dog Opera Library 2-CD set in Italian and English, featuring La Boheme with libretto, blackdogandleventhal.com.
And here we are. Hey, doctor, I wanted to ask you a question. What's makoplasty?
Makoplasty is a robotic-assisted joint replacement procedure that we're doing down at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie. Basically, it's a total hip replacement or it's a partial knee replacement done with the assistance of a computer, which takes a preoperative CAT scan fed into it, and the computer is attached to a robot, a robotic arm, which guides us and basically makes us take exact removal of bone and tissue to give an exact reproducible joint replacement procedure.
So what does Mako mean in this case?
Mako's the name of the company, just like the shark, just like the auto painting company,
yeah,
but nothing to do with them.
Yeah, I wondered about that, whether they ate you. Okay, here we get an email. Hi, Alan and Doctor. I've been picking up the hobby of rock climbing over the winter. Why do you do that? Anyway, I make sure to warm up and stretch my hands because I'm aware the strain climbing puts on my tendons. I'm wondering how quickly tendons can strengthen or if you have tips. Any tips on maintaining their health? Hand strength is causing me to plateau more from injury apprehension than hitting a strength limit. Thank you. Colin.
Sure. Well, very common injury with rock climbers. I see them very frequently. Basically, you want to make sure you're stretched out before going out like anything else. Have the appropriate hand gear as well. But when you start having any kind of pain, your body's telling you to back off and to take it easy because it could be a pre-rupture situation, which happens quite frequently. So listen to your body if you're starting to have pain. Make sure you're stretched out. Make sure you're well hydrated. All those things help for good tendon and hand nutrition.
1-800-348-2551. Did you hear me? 1-800-348-2551. Go to Jim in Malta. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Good afternoon, doctors.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Hi. I'm 70. I ski, hike, and run a lot. And several years ago, I developed some pain in my hip while doing that, and I was diagnosed with a stenosis, compressed discs, and some arthritis in the lower spine, and they're saying that's what's actually causing my hip pain, even though it wasn't the hip itself that was injured.
Okay.
And I've been going along with that for a couple of years now, but this past year, especially with skiing, it really felt like it was my hip, so I finally had a hip MRI, which I never had before. And they told me I have a torn labrum. And this week, I'm going in for a guided cortisone injection where they inject dye.
Yep, inject cortisone into that hip joint, sure.
And I'm wondering if it's a torn, is that a tendon?
Yeah, no, the labrum is a cartilage, much like the cartilage or meniscus in your knee. It gives cushioning and stability in the hip. And your condition is a very common condition. Most active people in their early 70s will have back arthritis. And a lot of times, if you have hip pain, it could be coming from your hip, it could be coming from the side of your hip or the bursa, or it could be coming from the back. And I am very liberal with trying cortisone injections, both for therapeutic to make the pain go away and also diagnostic. If you have this injection of cortisone into your hip joint and the pain goes away, you know that's where the pain's coming from.
That's what they're doing. I had the injection a few months ago, but it didn't do any good. But it wasn't a guided injection, so this time they want to make sure they hit the sweet spot.
Yep, that's what I would do, too. The one they probably did.
If it's torn, how does an injection help?
Well, if the injection isn't just Novocaine, it's also cortisone, and the cortisone acts as a local anti-inflammatory. So that should make the initial pain go away. And even if you have a tear, if the pain goes away and you're not having mechanical symptoms, it may take care of it. So I highly advise you to do that.
Jim, you're done. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call.
See you, Jim.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, and let's go to Harvey in Woodstock. Okay, Harvey, you're on.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Harvey.
I have a fatty tumor in my left wrist. I've had it for a number of years. I recently went for an MRI, which showed it to be a lipoma approximately 6.2 centimeters, kind of big. And it's the MRI also showed that it was pressing up against the ulnar nerve and the artery, pushing them to the side.
Okay.
I have a good deal of pain, and being a musician, they've suggested that I go for and have this removed. I'm a little cautious. I'm concerned about what would happen to the nerve there and how tricky an operation this could be, and if there was any non-surgical way of dealing with something this size.
Well, a couple things. Is if the lipoma is not causing any symptoms and it is not getting any bigger and has not gotten any bigger, you could just watch it if you don't mind looking at a lump on your wrist.
Right.
But if it is getting any bigger, or if it's causing symptoms specifically on the ulnar nerve where you would get tingling on your pinky and ring finger, mm-hmm. then I would definitely have it removed.
Yeah, it definitely is causing symptoms. I have pain in my wrist, and that sometimes goes up, you know, down into my hand and also up my arm, and a little bit restricted motion.
Yeah, I think I would definitely have it removed. Lipomas aren't invasive, so they shouldn't be wrapping around the nerve and artery. They should just gently peel it off, and that should mm-hmm. take care of it. But I would definitely have it removed if that's the case.
They said it is intermuscular, not intramuscular.
Okay. That's even better then. That's okay. That means it's between the muscles instead of
right.
inside the muscle.
So you think having it out, the risk isn't too great of doing damage to this nerve in
no,
the procedure?
A 6-centimeter lipoma in the wrist, which is not that big of a structure on the body, is a big tumor. And I would definitely take it out.
Okay. Hey, I really appreciate your help. Thank
Good
you.
Luck, Harvey.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Joseph in Stattsburg. Okay, Joseph.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I fell yesterday, and it sort of hurt my shoulder, and I had a gash below my left knee. And so I iced both, and around 7 o'clock last night, I had pain in my left knee itself. And so we iced and went to emergency room this morning. They took an x-ray and said, doesn't look like there's any bone broken. And they gave me a knee restraint to keep the knee immobilized. And they said, give it a week or so. And if the pain doesn't go away, then call an orthopedic outfit. So I called the orthopedic group this afternoon, anticipating that there might be a delay in getting an appointment next week in the event I needed it, and they could take me tomorrow. Is this sort of jumping the gun, or is there benefit
to... It depends the kind of injury you had and how much pain you're in. If you were placed in a knee immobilizer,
yeah.
I think there's no downside to being evaluated by an expert. And
okay.
tomorrow versus next week, if it was me, I'd rather do it tomorrow just to get an expert's opinion. And, yeah, I would definitely have it evaluated.
Okay, very good. Second question. I have hammer toe, and it's extreme. So my big toe is over to the right, and my next toe is literally over the big toe. Is there a sooner rather than later with it? Because as the last couple of years, it's gotten worse, and I could still walk pretty good, and I'm 68 years old. So, is to get it looked at, is it sooner rather than later, or what do you think?
It's time to get it looked at. You're describing a progressive bunion deformity with a fixed and progressive hammer toe deformity. And although you're functional now, this is one of the few times that I would not wait until it got bad. And it sounds pretty bad as it is right now. So yep. I would have it looked at and evaluated now.
Thank you so much.
Joseph, thank you.
Good luck, Joseph.
Okay, let's go to Kurt in Lee. Okay, Kurt, you're on.
Hi, doctor.
Hey, Kurt.
I'm 60 years old. Last December, I started getting a pain in my shoulder. When it started, it hurt even like to turn the blinker on the car. But now I have no problem lifting my arm, but in the top, like in the top of the shoulder, like kind of like right in the middle, it feels like in the front of the shoulder. If I put my arm behind my back, like to take my jacket off or something like that,
sure.
that's when it hurts.
Okay. It sounds like you have some tendonitis. What I would do is try to do some stretching. I would try some anti-inflammatories. And if you don't get any better, I would have it evaluated. As I mentioned previously, a cortisone injection is usually very effective for this sort of thing. And if that doesn't help, then I would consider getting an MRI scan to see if you have any rotator cuff problems. But it sounds like right now it's getting better in time, and it sounds like more of an annoyance than a real functional problem. You're right. Able to sleep at night, right?
Yes.
So yeah,
I don't sleep on that side.
But. Sounds like you're on the mend, but if it doesn't get better in the near future, I would have it looked at.
Okay, so is it uncommon that it would go on for like 4 months or?
4 months is a long time. I would have it checked out.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're kind of getting diminishing returns with improvement.
Kurt, right. Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Kurt.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Ed in West Hurley. Okay.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I don't have an illness, but I do have a question. I'm currently 75 years old. 22 years ago, at age 53, I had a total hip replacement at the New York Hospital for Special Surgery. Dr. Ranawat was then a highly reputed doctor who performed the surgery. And he talked me into something that was very introductory at that point, cementless surgery. So here I am 22 years later. I'm a very, very active person, probably average 25 miles per week walking, 30 miles a week bicycling, and I haven't had so much as an aspirin in 22 years. Is this an uncommon occurrence, and what can I expect in the future?
Sounds like Dr. Chitranjan Ranawat.
That's the one.
He did the right thing for you. Right. Yes. Now, I would say, at least in my case and most orthopedic surgeons, almost always try to press fit or non-cement hip replacements.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is the bone grows into the implant. It stays
yes.
that way forever. And as long as the materials don't wear out, you should be able to live your entire life with it, which it sounds like you've had the great fortune of taking place.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Doctor, when this was done to me, it was relatively introductory. And Dr. Chris said, you know, Ed, he says, I can't tell you if this will last 5 weeks, 5 years, or the rest of your life.
Well,
and as of my 20th anniversary, he says it's as good as the day I put it in.
He was right. Now it's the gold standard to do it his way, and he's one of the pioneers of orthopedic surgery.
Hey, Ed, thanks for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it
you.
Very much. 1-800-348-2551. We got a couple of minutes left. We got one person on the phone. We got an emailed question at voxpop@wamc.org. Hello. Can twisting thumb lead to trigger finger symptoms such as paralysis of thumb, clicking, and pain? Thank you.
It can. Trigger finger is when the tendon basically gets stuck in the little sleeve that holds it down, kind of like the ring of a fishing pole. Typically, it happens for no reason at all, but sometimes it can be from repetitive use or trauma. The best way to answer that would be to be evaluated, to check it out. But yes, to answer your question, it can be from that.
Okay, let's go to Manish in Del Mar, 1-800-348-2551. Manish.
Hello, Alan, and hi, Dr. Stammer.
Hey,
my name
Manish.
Is Manish.
Manish, sorry.
I'm a primary care physician, actually. I do urgent care and family medicine in Latham. And one of the points I wanted to bring up was the idea of prehabilitation or just preventative. A lot of patients are calling in with problems, and you're answering them. It's great. And on my end, usually when someone comes with the first back pain injury, I give them some stretches and, you know, sometimes some muscle relaxants, but most patients prefer a pill. But I find it, as you mentioned to several patients, to do some stretches and exercises. But it's hard sometimes to, you know, explain that. And sometimes, you know, in medical school, they don't really tell us, you know, they don't, that's not one of the things that we're taught. And I've gone through, and there's some great books like the Athlete's Homebook of Home Remedies, and there's a great Kelly Starrett, Dr. Kelly Starrett, physical therapist, who has a mobilitywad.com. What are your thoughts on that, or, you know, like prehabilitation?
Yep. Manish, like you said, I'm a big fan of that. The typical garden variety back pain without neurologic compromise almost always gets better on its own without any interventional treatment.
Right.
I discourage the use of narcotics when I can. I'm not a big fan of muscle relaxants, but I think in the acute setting, they're helpful. But otherwise, rest, early mobilization, low-impact activities, stretching, anti-inflammatories, physical therapy if not getting any better. Bed rest is out. That's been out for 20 years.
Interesting.
And and then only if you're not getting better or if you start developing neurologic compromise, meaning like you can't pick your ankle up or you're developing numbness on your foot, then should you seek to get interventional testing like an MRI scan. Unfortunately, in the media nowadays, people want their MRIs. They have pain for a day and they want an MRI. And usually it's not necessary.
Yeah, and they can, they have some unintended consequences sometimes, so, can't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Manish, I'm so sorry for mispronouncing your name. And thank you for the call. Appreciate it very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Manish.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and very quickly, we're sort of running out of time here. Let's go to Wendy in Great Barrington. Wendy.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Wendy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 64 years old. I've had surgery on both my feet. In 2007, I had it on my left foot, three hammer toes, and a bunion. They used the pin method where they put the pins in the toe.
Yeah.
And when they pulled the, one of the of pins actually broke, and a half an inch of pin is stuck in my toe and has now developed, obviously, over a long period of time, a lump. My toes are in pain constantly. It feels like a huge rubber band is just wrapped around them, and I gained weight. It's like a bad cycle. I need to exercise, but I can't because my feet are killing
me. Sure,
absolutely.
Okay, so we're sort of running out of time here. Doc, you got to give us a short answer.
Yeah, basically, it sounds like you had a fusion and the pin broke inside. If you're having pain, you should be checked out. The pin could have migrated into the wrong position. The toe may not have ever healed, so I would definitely get checked out.
And somebody's going to call and say, should I go to a podiatrist or should I go to an orthopod?
Right.
You know,
right.
That's a good question. I would say a podiatrist that does this sort of thing all the time is fine. Orthopods who have an interest in it and do it frequently as well. I take care of this sort of thing, too. And as long as they take care of patients with this on a regular basis, you'll be fine.
And how, if somebody wants to get in touch with your practice, do they do it?
My name, again, is Dr. Dave Stamer. I'm with Mid-Hudson Medical Group, and you can call 845-231-5600 or MidHudsonMedicalGroupPC.com.
Hey, Wendy, thanks for the great call. See you on the street in Great Barrington. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Let's go. It's got to be real fast. Yell out your question, Marie, but we only have a second or two. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I get stiff hands and fingers during the night, and when I wake up in the morning, I can barely flex my hands and fingers. But then I wake up and I start gently moving them, and my hands and fingers are okay for the rest of the day. Why is this happening only overnight, and what could it be?
Okay, and we only have a second here, Doc.
It's hard to say. It could be arthritis. It could be trigger fingers. It's best to get evaluated. But I'd say one of those two things.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks,
thank you,
Marie,
very much. All right, so we basically are out of time. We left a poor Dawn of St. Johnsville on, and we are really sorry about that.
Sorry, Dawn.
So anyway, we are we've had a great day so far, and we're about out of time. Thank you, everybody. I would like to thank Dr. David Stamer for joining us today. Support for Medical Monday comes from Toppersyn, natural medicine formula creams designed to heal muscles, joints, nerves, and skin conditions, including shingles and eczema. Toppersyn.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop.
Thank you, Alan.
Oh, and thank you, David. It's been terrific having you here. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. She's wonderful. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Martyr. She's wonderful also. I'm Alan Chartok. Not so much. Stay tuned now for a news update.